But I wanted to take you into the scriptures today, and I want to look at the events just before and during the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Passover is celebrated this week, and the Jewish Passover is the day in which Jesus Christ died. It would have been Jerusalem time at about 3 p.m. on that day, in case you want to mark it in your head and heart. And I want you to take your Bibles and go to Matthew 26. I also wanted to bring to your attention, a long time ago, I put up on the internet, on my website, the church website, an article called The Sufferings of Jesus Christ. And it was a teaching that I had done. I had it transcribed. I had done it at a teen camp. It was in two parts. It was too long to do in one teaching, but I wanted to do it for the young people. And what I did was I took every scripture concerning those last 2-3 days, and I put them in order. And I told, mostly I told the kids and preached it, but it was it's all on the if you want to read it, I think it'd bless you a lot. But you'll be able to tell that I'm talking to kids and that I'm doing this live. You know, it wasn't in the Queen's English. So, but I think it will bless you if you take the time to read it. And you just have to look up underneath the teaching area, and then you come down and you'll see articles. You also see Mary's articles that she's been writing up there. But I want to take you to Matthew 26, and we're going to start here in verse 36. You know, just before this, the thing that kind of crazy in verse 1, 26:1, I just want to read this. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And he knew everything that was coming his way. And he knew the manner in which it was going to be done. He knew that how he was going to suffer, how much he was going to suffer. You know, he really understood every single detail. If you read Psalm 22, which maybe we'll touch upon this morning, that's when he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And what he was doing was he was remembering that psalm. He was remembering the things that were spoken in that psalm when he cried out those things. It talks about them parting his garments. It talks about them screaming at him, saying, you know, you say you're the Son of God. Come on down off of that cross. If God is with you, he'll take you. Yeah, I'll read those verses a little later, but this is, it just breaks my heart, and it also makes me so proud that our Lord and Savior would obey the Father, love us and him so much, to do everything that he did and save our lives. This is when you and I were paid for and saved and brought back from the devil's hand. He owned us. And Jesus Christ paid the price so that we could be God's. It's kind of incredible to think of. And then in verse 14 it says, and one of the 12 came, Judas Iscariot, and went to the chief priests. You know, they didn't even suck Judas in on this. He went to them. he went to them, and he said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they contended with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. You know, if you got a roll of quarters, this is what I did when I taught the kids. I counted out 30 quarters, which is just short of a roll. You set it, stick it in your hand. And I threw it on the floor. I'll never forget how the change just sounded. That's how much Judas thought Jesus was worth. This is one of his apostles. This is a man he's eaten with. He's taught signs, miracles, and wonders. He's witnessed. This is a man who, for whatever reason, allowed the adversary to get into his heart and turn against Jesus Christ to the end that he was willing to sell him to his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. That to me is just, it sends chills up and down my back. So when believers tell you that they'll stand forever, you know, and that we'll always be friends and stuff like that, nah, it don't work that way, does it? And don't be surprised, because if they did it to him, they can do it to you. You know, we are called to love people, just like he was. And he loved Judas. In fact, he's going to wash Judas's feet shortly after this. He's going to give Judas the sop. Say, you're the most honored individual here at the Last Supper. And he's going to give Judas every chance. And Judas doesn't take it. Go to verse 36. After the Last Supper, I'm not going to read that record. After the Last Supper, where he teaches them, you can read that teaching in John chapter 13 through 17. He goes to and says in verse 36, Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said unto to his disciples, Sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. He took his three guys. He wanted them to pray with him. And he is at his, he knows what's coming. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto disciples, and he finds them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You know, it says in the Gospel of John that his sweat at that particular time was as big drops of blood. And that God at this particular moment sent him angels to comfort him, to strengthen him. This is probably one of the most intense moments of Jesus Christ's life. He knows what's in front of him. He really knows what's in front of him. And the guys, his best guys, they can't really, they don't grasp it. They don't understand it. And they're too weak to even pray with him. It's really a moment where it's just him, God, and God sends him angels to comfort him. He's alone. And then, and he says to them in verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest, for behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinner. And he arise, let us go. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. You know, and it says he knew exactly who was going to betray him. He knew everything that was happening. Judas left the Last Supper, went, and now there's a whole cohort of temple guards coming up to Gethsemane. And they got swords and knives. And it says, verse 47, and while yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, and a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and the elder, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and he kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword unto its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Jesus Christ, it says, I believe in the Gospel of John, when they walked up to him, and he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus, I think that's what they said. And he says, I'm he. And when he said that, they all fell down. Jesus Christ commanded the wind to cease, the water to be calm, with words. He says, I'm he, and they all fell back to the ground. This is not a powerless man. When one of the disciples, I think it was Peter, I'm not sure, but anyhow, when one of them pulls out his knife, I mean, you know, at least one of them did something wrong. They were wrong, but at least they did something. You know, and he cuts off this guy's ear. Now, Jesus has just been trying to, okay, leave these guys out of it, just take me. And they put themselves right back in it. And the whole reason was because one of the scriptures that had to be fulfilled was that the shepherd would be taken, and that the sheep would be scattered. Every single thing that's going on here is spoken of in the scriptures that has to be fulfilled. And when Jesus Christ says, don't you know that I can ask my Father for 12 legions? I think a legion is 6,000 men. That's 72,000 angels. It only took two to take care of Sodom and Gomorrah. Two. I can command and ask my Father for the whole army in heaven, and he'd give it to me. And all he had to do is ask. He's been just praying for strength to do the will of God. He knows what's happening, and he is sweating blood because he is so anguished at what's coming his way. And yet he cares for them so much. Let them off the hook. Just take me. This is written in the other Gospels. Heals the high priest's ear. Just so that they can get out of this. And then he yells at them. But what if I did ask for those 72,000 angels? But all this was done that the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled. I'm doing this so that the word of God comes to pass. That's what he spent his whole life doing. I come to do thy word, O God. Is a quote in Hebrews. It's, and when he was 12, he says, I got to be about my Father's business. You know, this is the commitment. This is, the first of all, this is the integrity of the word of God that he had in his heart. So how should we take these scriptures? And then this is the guts that this man has. I mean, this is a man's man. Verse 55 says, in that same hour, said Jesus to the multitude, are you come out as against a thief with swords and stave for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Every one of his guys ran for the hills. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, and the scribes and the elders were assembled. And Peter followed him afar off. And I'm not going to read the thing about Peter here. Peter, he stays a distance away. He watches what goes on. And then Jesus had told him, you're going to deny me. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to deny you. And he does before the cock crows that morning. And he realizes, and Peter is just absolutely ashamed. Ashamed at it all. In verse 59, it says, now the chief priests and the elders and all the councils sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. You know, they couldn't even line up their ducks in order to have an individual condemned in the Mosaic law. You had to have two witnesses that would agree on the points, and then those witnesses' words would be considered true. And what they couldn't do is get the guys to agree. Oh, he said this, but then the other one would be different. And they're all false witnesses. These people are so, you can see it in the world we live in today. Hatred, spiritual hatred, is so intense that it doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter if you're going, if you desire to kill somebody and it's a spiritual hatred, then no matter what is said, no matter what is done, no matter what the facts are, they pursue it. Because they're blinded to everything else. This is what the devil does. You know, and Jesus, what did he do that was so terrible? He healed people. He spoke to them about the scriptures. He loved them. He cared for them. And yet, they have, since the very beginning of his ministry, sought to kill him. And these are the religious people. And it's just the fact that, you know, even his own men, just think about it. I mean, what has the devil done to Judas? Because it says in the Gospel of John that Judas that the devil filled his heart. What has the adversary done to Judas, who was right there with him? In fact, Judas was the guy who was stealing from the whole group. The world that the Lord lived in is evil. Evil. And that same evil and those same spirits dwell in the world that we live in today. That's why you have to guard your own heart. You have to guard your own heart, and you have to look and take notice and not allow that kind of thing to penetrate your own soul when you're tempted. So they look for false witnesses, verse 60, and they found none. Though many false witnesses came, they found none. And the last came, two false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said that I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is that these witness against thee?" And Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Quite a little switch there. And my understanding is that when this is spoken, "I adjure thee by the living God," you have to respond. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds from heaven." That high priest, I don't want to really be that man. Can you imagine when the day of the resurrection of the unjust comes? Because that's where I believe this guy's going to be. All right? And all of the dead who did not believe on him are raised. And he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's going to meet this guy eye to eye again. I think that's going to curl the man's toes. And everybody who went the other route and didn't believe, didn't humble themselves and accept Jesus Christ as Lord, didn't believe the gospel, and did it for their own envy, for their own pride, for their own arrogance, they're going to die the second death and be toast forever. Non-existence. You're going to see me at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, he had spoken blasphemy. What further need we have witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his own blasphemy. What think you? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. And they did spit in his face. The other gospel said they covered his head. They blindfolded him. And then they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote. The word smote is the word fillet. They filleted him. They hit him with item that would literally fillet his skin with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is it that hit, that smote thee? Now Peter sat without the place, and the damsel came unto him, and like I said, Peter betrays the Lord. He's watching this whole thing, but the verse that I want to read to you is 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Jesus Christ saw Peter over in the distance, and he turned and he looked at him. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said. And he walked off and wept. And when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it, to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went, and he hanged himself. He's going to kill himself later on. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful that we put them in the treasury, but it is because it's the price of blood. They know what they're doing. We paid for this guy's life. It's the price that we paid to kill this man. But God forbid that we should put the silver in the treasury. It wouldn't be, religiously, it wouldn't be right. Murder is okay. Murder is just fine as long as it meets our end. But we can't put the money back in the treasury. Twisted. You see how twisted that is? And yet they justify it. They're so self-righteous in their own motives. It's just incredible. God has delivered us from all of this. The world that we live in is just as twisted. Just as hateful. And some days you'll be on one side of it, and other days you'll be on the other side of it. But it's the same devil spirits running the show. So he says, I'm sorry. Hey, this is innocent blood, but you know what? This is not going to change anything. I don't know what was in Judas's mind, why he allowed himself to be tempted to such a degree. There are plenty of people who have guessed, and I'm not going to spend my time guessing here with you. you know, but he sold the Lord out, and there's no taking this back. And it will drive him literally to the place of committing suicide later on. And it's after the ascension in the scriptures, because he was there just at the time of the ascension. So he cast down the silver, and the chief priests, they took it, and they bought a field where they could bury the strangers. Verse 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they, the children of Israel, did value. And they gave them for the potter's field, and the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. He's standing before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. He says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, yeah, you say. And when he was accused of the chief priest and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate to him, hearest thou not how many things these witness against thee? And he answered him, too, never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. He said nothing. He gave no defense. Now, at the feast that the governor was wont to release to the people the prisoner whom he would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas, whom when they had gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate figured out, these chief priests and everything else, the only reason this man's before him under the death penalty is for envy, because of their envy of him. He was turning the people. He was getting crowds. He was becoming popular. He was confronting them. And what they hated him for was envy. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She calls Jesus just. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas. Barabbas was a notorious murderer and destroyed Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto him, whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor, this is the people of Israel. See, the Romans crucified people, but this time it's the Jews that are asking for it. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult, a riot's coming up, was made. And he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all of the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And they released, and he released Barabbas unto them. And when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and they gathered him and the whole band of soldiers, a whole band of warriors. And they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and the reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, and put on his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man, Simon. This was over how long a period of time? You know, 48 hours it's been since 2 days. Questioning, beating after beating. And yet he doesn't offer up a defense. Jesus Christ stands before Pilate. Pilate is amazed. There's nothing this man has done that's worthy of death. What the heck are you people doing? He calls him just. His wife calls him just. And yet the crowd has got this, crucify him. You know, you talk about spiritual hatred. This is the whole devil's realm, influencing the crowd, the people who think that they are doing the right thing. The elders, the religious people, everything else. And they want Jesus dead. And it says in Corinthians that if the devil had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because after this, you know and I know that when God raises our Lord and Savior from the dead, all those that believe on him are going to receive that gift of Holy Spirit. And that means you have got Christ in you. And every place you are, Christ is, as long as you walk by that Spirit. And the devil hates you just as much as it hates him. It's just that he's got to spread it out now. He's got to spread it out now. Just not one man. And he's lost. The adversary has lost forever the battle. It's just a matter of time. But think of the hatred, think of the carnage, the anarchy that's going on at this particular moment, the crowd, the pain, the blood, all of it. I'm not flipping back and forth all the other gospels. It's just too much to do at this particular moment. You know, you ought to do that. You ought to go back and flip back and forth to these Gospels and add all the little pieces that go along with this so that you can taste it and remember how much you were loved. Remember how much was done. Remember the price that was paid. So they got this guy, Simon, to bear his cross. And that's another, again, Jesus Christ didn't have the strength to bear his own cross. As soon as they took him out, they grabbed this guy Simon and they had Simon bear his cross for him. And when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of skulls, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. That's supposed to be a painkiller. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and they parted his garments, and they cast lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. And they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. God had that written 1,000 years before. The soldiers are going to gamble for what garment you got. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they passed by and reviled, wagging their heads. The people just passed by him, wagging their heads, saying, "Thou that destroys the temple and builds it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him, God, deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." You can imagine the Father, Jesus Christ's Father, hearing those words coming out of these people's mouths and holding his temper. At that particular point, I'm sorry, folks, I would have wiped out the whole earth. You know, God loves you is the only explanation. I'm willing to hear this blasphemy. I'm willing to endure what's going on here. I am willing to send my son to suffer in such a vile way so that I can have my family who believes on me. Don't you ever doubt that you are loved. So they set up that accusation. They are taunting him. They are blaspheming against him and against God. And verse 44 says, "And the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same into his teeth." And you know that that other guy in Luke, one of them said, you know, stood up for him. He's the only man, because there were four crucified with our Lord and Savior. I know Michelangelo did the picture and everybody's got three. But even if you go and you look in a Catholic church, you'll see five crosses on the altar. One main one and two on each side. They just forgot why. Michelangelo's painting was the one that stuck in people's head. Because the other man stood up for Jesus and said, "Leave him alone. We deserved this." He didn't deserve it. He's the only other one besides Pilate that said he was innocent. And Jesus said, "I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise." These two, they're mocking Jesus also. Pretty dumb. But, you know, there's not a lot of smart people in prison. Verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them stood there. And at that particular point, verse 46, I believe Jesus Christ is thinking about Psalm 22, where that the first verse is the quote, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the rest of the chapter is talking about how he's going to be crucified. And they parted my garments and they did, you know, he's thinking about the word of God he's fulfilling. You read Psalm 22 when you get a chance today. And then Psalm 22 ends with victory. And some of them that stood by, verse 47, when they had heard that, they said, he calls for Elijah. And straightway one ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. He died. And behold, as soon as he died, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. When Jesus Christ died, it says the veil of the temple. Now, the veil of the temple is from the Holy of Holies to the court, all right? I believe that is about 22 inches thick. That particular veil. It's made out of all different kind of animal materials. You can go back and read in the Old Testament what it's made out of. But this is significant, and he doesn't rip from the bottom up. It rips from the top down. And it signifies that everything that was the separated man from God Almighty is done. It's gone. The next couple verses are not in the text. The next verse that is in the text is 54. Now when the centurion saw, when they that were with him, now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many of the women, which were beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministered unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when even was come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate, and he begged for the body of Jesus. And when Pilate commanded that the body to be delivered, and he buried him quickly, because he believed he was getting up. This is the account, the record. It's not complete because you got three other gospels, but it's enough to cover this morning to realize how much was done, how much was suffered, how much was paid for, just so that you and I could be sons of the living God. How much do we owe him? How much dedication should be in our soul. If we really do take inventory on what was done and what was suffered. When you look at Psalm 22, if you just go there for a second. This is what the Lord, I believe, was thinking about. You know, that victory cry, my God, for this purpose was I, have I come. That's why I learned it that way for a long time. But I also realized that Psalm 22's got the same, because it ends up in a victory cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and they were not confounded. But I am a worm, and not a man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh at me, laugh me to scorn, and they shout out with their lips. They shake their heads, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he should deliver him. Let God deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. It's exactly what they said that day. God knows exactly what some evil, devil-inspired, possessed individuals going to say against his son. Do you think he doesn't know everything that's cooking? But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls, Bashan, having beset me around. They gasp upon me with their mouth. They gaped upon me with their mouth, and they and a ravening as the roaring lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a pot shear, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw. And thou hast brought me unto the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, and they are spared upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This is what Jesus Christ was thinking of as he was hanging on the cross. He knew that this was written about him, and he knew what the end. Verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vow before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindred of the nation shall worship before thee. The kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor of all the nations. It ends with, you know what? God's going to get what he wants at the end. Jesus paid for this so that God could have an earth filled with people that would love him. And he's going to get that because Jesus Christ paid the price. And I just wanted to bring this to you this morning as we remember what's going to happen so many years ago at Passover. And as a fellowship here, we're going to have communion upstairs later on. And I suggest that you, when you sit around this week, take the time to break bread and remember what Jesus Christ has done. Take the time and drink and remember his blood that was spilt for you for the remission of sins. And when you eat, the healing of your bodies. So I love you all. I'm so grateful to God for your lives. I pray that we all remember how much that we are loved, how much has been done for us, so that when we're cranky and things are not going our way, you know, whether they be big things or little things, that we remember how much it took to pay the price for us. And but like I said, never forget how much you are loved. I don't care what life brings our way. Never forget how much you are loved. So, Father, thank you for your love and kindness, tender mercies. Thank you, my God, for the word. Thank you for making these records available to us, Father, reminding us of the price that was paid, and reminding us of how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us, giving us wisdom, understanding, and the knowledge of you. Help us to be individuals who walk in the truth so that we glorify your holy name, and that we lovingly bring others to come to know you, Father. I pray for this. I pray for our families. I pray for all your people. I pray for all your loved ones, Father. I pray that your word lives in the heart and lives of each and every one of your people. So I praise you and love you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.